So let's read from Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning at verse 14. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defenced cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of the strong ones, for they are come and have devoured the land, and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices, which is adders, among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, said the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Amen. That will be particularly the focus. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? And sometimes when we think of this verse, we might think of the state of the nation, we might think of the state of the church, and think, if there is balm in Gilead, if there is a physician, how is it that things can be in a bad state? But I want this morning for us to particularly apply it to ourselves and to think, where are we spiritually and what level of an experience of God are we enjoying? And is it what God really has for us? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? See, this was the state of Judah. They were in a bad way because they'd sinned, they'd strayed away from the Lord. And there were so many problems that were coming to them as a result. The nation was sick, people were falling sick, they were about to be struck with the greater captivity of the overthrow with the Babylonians. And so the prophet and the Lord through the prophet is speaking to them and saying, how can you be in this state where you are so sick, where sin has got hold of you and ravaged you and torn you apart and brought you into a place where you're going to go into captivity and where you're not where you should be, where you're in a place of pain and failure and so much is going wrong? How can you be in that place? And he says, is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Is there not a, do you not have a God? You're Judah, you're the people of God. Do you not have a God who can change everything? And so he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Gilead was known for its balm that it made. You know, when Joseph was taken into captivity, some of the spices and things that they were bringing there was balm from Gilead, we read in Genesis. And so it was known that there was this wonderful balm that could treat wounds and things like that. And it was a precious thing, and it had healing properties. Now, if you have a balm, you maybe think of something like a lip balm, you apply it. It does two things. And it not only brings healing, but it brings comfort as well. And so when it says, is there no balm in Gilead, saying, is there not in God something that can deal with the issues that you have in two ways? First of all, that it will bring healing, but at the same time will bring comfort and restoration as well. Now, as we think of that, it's speaking of two things, speaking of two persons of the Godhead, the balm and the position, and we see the position is the great physician. That's the Lord Jesus, who, as it were, applies the balm, and the balm is the Holy Spirit. And so as we think of our lives as Christians, we've trusted the Lord, we're born again, we know the blessings of the new covenant. Why then can we be in a place of sickness? And I'm not just talking about physical sickness, but that can be a part of it. Why, and a key part of it at times, why can we be physically sick? But not only that, why can we be sick in our souls? Why can we feel so much pain just living in this world? And I believe it's because we have not fully grasped the fullness of what there is available to us in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon a person and they are open to the fullness of the Holy Spirit, he brings not just healing and dealing with specific situations that we have, but he brings also comfort and takes the pain. He takes the pain of life. Each one of us, we go through problems. And, you know, we know that troubles come to man like the sparks fly upwards. The troubles come our way. But if we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we shouldn't be in that place where we're feeling pain, because we have such an abundance of comfort. And so this is the level of Christianity. This is the level of spirituality that I believe the Lord has for us, and yet so few of us are really living in it. If you look at Luke's Gospel, and where the Lord Jesus is there, and he's just beginning his ministry, and he's quoting from Isaiah in Luke in chapter 4. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And in that little passage, you find two things. One, the Holy Spirit, because this says the Holy Spirit is upon Jesus as he goes about his ministry. The Holy Spirit has two roles, and the first role is to deal with the specific issues, to deal with the problems. So, as it were, you have this wound, it's caused by maybe sin, mistakes that have been made, and so the Spirit moves on to change, preaches the gospel, preaches the acceptable day of the Lord, preaches deliverance to the captives. So it deals with the specific issues, but you see, as along with that, also delivers the comfort and the deliverance from pain that we need in order to be a people who are rejoicing and a people who are on top of things. So it says to heal the brokenhearted, and to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Not those that are in prison, but them that are bruised. And so we find that the part of the gospel is to bring us to a place where we are healed, and we're not feeling that pain. Yes, we suffer with those that suffer. But if we can be brought to the level where God wants us, we're not suffering with that pain through life that brings us into a place of defeat. We are living at a higher place. And I want to take us deeper into this from 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. There's quite a lot in this message, so we're going to have to look at a number of different passages to really understand what this message is all about. You see, God wants to take us to this higher level of spirituality in himself. Most of the time, even as Christians, we're living at a very low level, a very pedestrian level, a very earthly level. But that's not where God wants us to be. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about us being seated with Christ in heavenly places, about taking us up so we are living in the heavenlies. When we're moving in the Spirit continually, we're living in the heavenlies. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have this experience of Paul, and it says, verse 3, "I knew such a man," verse 4, "how that he was caught up into paradise and heard an unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Paul was taken into a very high level of spirituality, a place where he was, as it were, in the spirit, taken, as it were, out of the things of earth to an extent. But you see, the problem is that we are very prone to come back to earth and to lose that place of blessing. And Paul speaks about that and says how it was quite likely that he was going to get into a place of pride, which brought him bang down to earth and brought him out of the spirit. Now, just to clarify, I'm talking about a place where we are living in the spirit. Romans 8 talks about that experience of living in the spirit. And that's what we're talking about. We're living in the spirit. And so Paul was brought up. He had this very intense experience of the Holy Spirit, but he could have come down to earth as pride entered him, brought out of that spiritual place. And what the Lord did was this, that he sent him, this demon, to buffet him and cause him so many problems that, if I can put it like this, Paul didn't dare stay in the earthly realm. He found he had to stay in the heavenly realm because this life was going to become too painful for him. So as he suffered, as you read in the previous chapter, as he suffered beatings and stonings, imprisonments and shipwrecks and all those things were sent to take him out of the earthly realm and into the heavenly realm, because that's where God wanted him to dwell. Because God knew that if he was dwelling in that heavenly realm, then not only would he be in a place of comfort and blessing and rejoicing, but also that all that he was experiencing would flow out of him into the lives of other people. And that's the key to it. In order for that blessing to come to others, we have to be in that place of blessing ourselves. And so he says, I asked the Lord that I wouldn't have to keep suffering these things. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He was saying, Paul, I want to keep you living in the spirit. I want to keep you dwelling in that heavenly place, and I have to send you these trials continually, because they will stop you wanting to touch earth. They will stop you wanting to touch earth. They will catapult you back up into the heavenly places. And he says, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see, as I said before, as he was taken out of the earthly realm and he was put into the realm of the Holy Spirit and into the heavenly realm, it not only meant a blessing and comfort for him personally, but it meant the blessing and the power that was going to flow out of him into the lives of other people. And we may ask, why is it that we don't see so many miracles and healings the way in the early church they did? Well, they were living in that heavenly realm. And I believe that's the only way, really. Sometimes the Lord just does it out of the blue. But if you're really going to see that level of miracles and healings and so forth, we have to get out of this earthly realm. There's no other way to do it. We have to get so we are living in the spirit. We're living in the heavenly realm. Because, as it were, it's in the heavenly realm that the miracles take place. As long as we're tied to earth and just have this pedestrian, this mundane level of Christianity, we cannot see the miracles happening. But I just want to think a little bit more for a moment about how the being filled with the Spirit enabled them not to be touched with the pain of this earth that we ought naturally to suffer. See, Paul, in Acts chapter 14, going through a particular strong time of persecution, verse 19, it says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. He is stoned, they think he's dead, but because he's living in the spirit, he can get straight up and he gets straight back into action, and he goes out and he goes on and preaches. Very soon he goes back to Lystra. You find the same thing when Paul and Silas are in prison in Acts of chapter 16, how they've just been beaten, and we're so familiar with the story of the Philippian jailer and so forth, But we forget how sore they would have been in that situation, what a terrible beating the Romans would have given them. And yet in that position, that somehow they're so filled with the Spirit that they're rising above it, and they're just praising the Lord in the middle of the prison. And we know that that leads, as they are in the Spirit and moving in the Spirit and seemingly not to be touched with the normal affliction of this earth, that then there's the mighty earthquake, and they say to the doors fly open, and they say to the jailer, "Don't do yourself any harm. We're all here." And as a result, the man gets saved. So the power that was in them and was stopping them, as it were, suffering as they might otherwise do, was the same power that needed to flow out from them to touch the lives of others. You know, it speaks about the level of something of what they were experiencing in Ephesians 5, where it says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord." And you know, if you're a man who is drunk, they don't feel pain the same. They will, you know, they do themselves a mischief and hurt themselves because they're simply not feeling the pain. And you know, in the old days when they were doing surgery, they would get them drunk on whiskey or something first because it numbed the pain. And there are certain you know, likenesses between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit, the sense of joy, and the fact that you're not feeling the pain of this earth, as it were. So Paul says, "Don't be drunk with wine, where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, because that will, in a pure and a beautiful way, bring you to the place where you're not suffering, as everyone else would suffer, but you're filled with the Spirit and you're speaking to yourself psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord." And other examples, think of Stephen perhaps. And you know, it speaks of Stephen. I think sometimes we might pass over what it says about Stephen. I know I often do. You know, in Acts chapter 6, where the deacons are called. And you might miss quite how it describes Stephen. And it says, verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 8, it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." He's just selected as a deacon, but he's going out and he's performing miracles amongst the people. We read about the miracles that Peter and Paul and different ones did, but here is Stephen, and it just glosses over it in one verse. He did great wonders and miracles among the people. But you know that he's in a place where he's moving in the Spirit, he's going out and it touches other people. But it's also there when he goes in the time of his difficulty, when they persecute him and he gives his sermon, and at the end of chapter 7 it speaks of how in amongst the stoning he is there still filled with the Spirit. And it says, verse 59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." He was able to get through that stoning. Why? Because he's not living on in the, as it were, the earthly realm. He's living in the heavenly realm. And you might think of people who are martyred. We were saying in our first hymn about martyrs. And you know, Latimer and Ridley, how was it that they could boldly say that, you know, we're going to light a candle that's going to burn forever? It must have been that they were in a different place spiritually. They were moving in the heavenly realm. They were moving in the things of God. But what does this mean practically in our lives? We can get the theology of it. We can understand, yes, it's there in the scriptures, that we can be in a place where we're not touched with the pain of this life, and that flows to other people. Well, I think what we often fail to realise is how tangible, as it were, the Holy Spirit and the experience of the Holy Spirit must be. What I mean is this. Very often, we take the Holy Spirit and bring him into a very earthly way of thinking. For example, the Holy Spirit gives me these thoughts. And we almost make it so that the Holy Spirit is simply an influence upon us that causes us to be better or to do things differently. Yes, the Holy Spirit, as it were, is upon us and helps us to choose a hymn or those sorts of things. But as you read through the book of Acts, we find that the Holy Spirit is far more tangible, and when he is moving, it is far more him, as it were, out there coming and doing something. He is coming and he is healing. And unless we see that the Holy Spirit is a person who comes and does something so exceedingly above everything we can ask or think, we're going to keep limiting him to this low level. If we want to see healings, we have got to, as it were, be more open to the Holy Spirit coming and doing something that is supernatural and completely different from the earthly realm. It's completely different from us thinking. It's completely different from us just applying medicine or anything else. It is supernatural. It is the power of God. It is God coming down and doing something extraordinary. But you don't really understand that while you're living in the earthly realm. We have got to get so we are up in that heavenly realm so that we are open when the Holy Spirit is doing it, so that we are not surprised when the miracles take place. You know, there's that saying that someone is so heavenly minded, so spiritually minded that they're no earthly use. But oh, that we would be like that. But most of us are so earthly minded that we're no heavenly use, we're no spiritual use. But if we, you know, if we're going to see the power of the Spirit moving in the in our meetings, as we praise God, you know, we're often so dead and such a lack of life, and I'm not having a go at anyone. But why are we in that place? It's because we're so tied down. You know, if we were in that spiritual realm, there would be a freedom, you know, and we would just. If the Holy Spirit gives us a message in a tongue, a prophecy, a song, and we just burst forth within it, there's no inhibitions, there's no holding back, because you're in that realm, you're in the Spirit. One of the things we enjoy so much in Uganda is that's how most of the churches are most of the time. Sometimes they say things are slightly crackers just in. You know, ordinary life, but it's because they're in a different place. They're in the Spirit, and they're open to the Spirit. And as you look at the way that the Holy Spirit moves in the Book of Acts, you find that there is this extraordinary tangibility about the moving of the Holy Spirit, and you find in the different times when the Holy Spirit moves that it is something from outside that comes and acts upon people and causes things to happen, and that's something we've got to expect. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes down and he changes things. You know, so often when I hear people praying for people, even some of the best people, as it were, praying for people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're almost encouraging them to start speaking in tongues in order that they become baptized in the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues, you know, open your mouth, start speaking. Well, really, if the Holy Spirit moves on, there has to be a cooperation, but if the Holy Spirit really moves on someone, it's the Holy Spirit. And bang, they're speaking in tongues, because it's the Holy Spirit. And because, especially in this country at the moment, because there's a general lack of the moving of the Holy Spirit, because we're all so earthly minded, we're having to go through all these hoops to try and get something that faintly resembles the Holy Spirit, and we're missing out on the great blessing of what we should have. And it says, verse 12, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." Clearly something was so obvious and tangible when they laid hands on them. They were bursting forth in tongues and prophesying, and something extraordinary was happening there that was very evident to those who were looking on. And so that Simon was saying, "Give me this power. Give me this power. You know, let me buy it even for money, that I can see it happen as well." And although it was wicked of him to think that he could buy it with power, yet I wonder how many of us actually desire that kind of power. That we would even go as far as to say, you know, give it to me however I need to get it. That we would want to be in that place where we are moving in the Spirit, so the power of God can come upon us. Now, you know, the Bible says that God gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask for him. And if we are wanting this, if we are wanting this gift, not just of the Holy Spirit moving the meetings and enabling us to choose a song and those kinds of things, but to raise us up to the level where we are laying hands on the sick and regularly they are being healed, and we are seeing miracles take place, so that we are laying hands on people, these new believers that we've got, that we would lay hands on people, and like that they're filled with the Holy Spirit. As individuals and as a church, we've got to leave that earthly realm behind, and we've got to start moving in the Spirit and not being embarrassed about anything that is of the Holy Spirit, not being afraid to move in the Spirit, to do things in the Spirit, to lay hands on people, because we're not tied to this earthly realm. Some of the young people, they're so embarrassed to do anything in front of their friends. And you know, as mature believers, we can be the same, because we're tied down to earthly things. And all that blessing is available to us today, the power of the Holy Spirit, so that everything in the book of Acts that was done can be done through us today, right now, if we will raise a level of faith and simply say, "Lord God, I want that the Spirit to move upon me." I believe that's all it takes. It just takes us coming to God and saying, "I want the Holy Spirit to move on me so that I can be used in that way." That's what's available to us today. Maybe we could just respond to that now, without preaching anymore. I think we understand the message. And let's just respond to the Lord now and say to the Lord, "That's what we want. We don't want to be dwelling in the earthly realm, but today, Lord, fill us each one here with your Holy Spirit, that we can be used of you. So that we are actually moving out in the power of the Holy Spirit, as in the book of Acts, and doing those things." You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit unless you're given 100% to God. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, it can only be because you're holding back part of your life to God. You're saying, "I will do this much, but I won't do everything." You know, that's what I found in my own experience. When I said, "God, whatever you call me to do, I will do it. I will go anywhere. I will do anything." When I did that, he filled me with the Holy Spirit and I was speaking in tongues. It was the act of God filling me when I opened myself completely to God. And for any here today who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, If you do that, open yourself 100% to God, he will fill you. But to all of us, those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we need to come into that place where we are saying to God, give me this power. I need this power, and I want to live in that. I want to live on that level. I want to live on that level. Perhaps we could just stand up and respond to the Lord now. This is a practical message, and especially in our day, with so much unbelief and so much deadness, and people you say, well, prove to me, God, where they. Paul said we came in demonstration of the Holy Spirit in power. And if he was coming in demonstration of the Holy Spirit in power, things were happening. It wasn't just good preaching, but something was happening when he went out and laid hands on people. People were, the sick were delivered, and all sorts of wonderful things were happening. We need a breakthrough, that we just need that freedom here.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for this time. I thank you, Praise Lord, for this word. I ask, Lord Jesus, as that song just asked, that you gracious Holy Spirit, whatever it takes,
yes,
move
Lord
in
God,
us,
yes,
Jesus, do it. I ask that whatever it takes to detach us from the things of this world, I ask that you do it, to break us, to mold us into the people that we need to be, for you to use us. We are nothing without you, Father God. May we become less, as John said. May we decrease,
yes,
that you may
yes,
increase,
yes,
Jesus. May we be less so that we
Hallelujah.
Need more to you
Hallelujah.
And less of this world.
Hallelujah.
We are nothing
Hallelujah.
Without you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord,
may
God.
You use
bless
us
the
and pray
bless
so that way
bless
we can be a better example and be a light to those that need you, Lord Jesus. How can we be compassionate? How can we love others if we have none of you? Lord Jesus, I just ask for your outpouring to come within us. Come in this church building, in this congregation, and to just mold us and make us into the church. The
yes,
church that
Lord
you
God.
Want,
yes,
Father
Lord
Christ,
God.
That
Hallelujah.
You
Hallelujah.
Want us to be.
Hallelujah.
May we
bless
be
your,
your ambassadors,
your
be your representatives, for all to see
Lord,
your
glory,
glory to
your
see
glory
your honor,
Hallelujah.
And all that you are,
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus,
Hallelujah.
In the name of
bless
Jesus,
your name, Jesus.
Pray.
We
you,
exalt
Lord.
You. Glory to God.
Thank
glory
you,
to God. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
yes, Lord Father, we pray, Father, you may revive us,
Amen. Hallelujah,
awaken us,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
let us be dead no more of Jesus Christ, Lord Father. I pray, Father, remove the sin of God in our life that hinders us, Father, from walking in your fullness of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord Father, that we may be ambassadors for your kingdom in Jesus' name, O God Almighty. Father, the lost around us will be saved, O God Almighty, Father, the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, O God Almighty. Work through us in Jesus'
yes,
name, O
God.
Let us be ashamed no more of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
That saves, O God, Lord, that the power to heal
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, O God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Humble us, O Lord, in this season in Jesus'
Hallelujah.
Name, O God.
Hallelujah.
We are coming on Jesus Christ, O God.
Worship
Almighty,
Jesus.
Let us be ready,
Worship
Father,
Jesus.
For your return in
Worship
Jesus' name,
Jesus.
O God. Father, let
your name.
Seriousness,
Lord,
O God,
Lord.
Of eternity in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Which will drive us, Father, Lord, to tell people your good news.
Yes.
Father, to drive us, Father, to feel our need of Jesus Christ, Father. Let our life, Father, not be concerned with ourselves more than others, O Father. Let our life not be concerned, O Father, with ourselves more than pleasing you and honoring you, O God Almighty. We pray, O Father, of God, that you will be the Lord over our life in Jesus' name, O God. Have reign, O God Almighty, Father, Lord. Have dominion, O God Almighty, in our life, O God. Be your blessing. Bless us, O God, and how you want us. How you want to bless us, O God, as we humble ourselves, O God, and as we walk in the blessing of your
Spirit,
O God, that you may use the word of God, Lord, in all things, O God, Almighty Father. We pray, O Father, when you walk, Father, as we walk in your ways, O God, and as we see healing, Father, let the healing you demonstrate, Father, Lord. Draw us closer to you, O Father, Lord. Let the healing, O Father, O God, that we see, O Father, Lord, draw our believers, O God, to salvation, to believe in you, Jesus Christ, O God Almighty. We pray. pray, Father, Lord, that we may see, O Father, Lord, the fullness, O Father, Lord, of you, O Jesus Christ, this evening, O Father. You the same, yesterday, today, and forever, O God.
Hallelujah.
And we pray, O Father, Lord, be honored and worshipped through our lives as we humble ourselves and as we repent, O God. I pray, I examine myself, help us all to examine ourselves, O God, Almighty, that we may walk in the Spirit as all the apostles did, O God, as the men of old did, O God, as the women of old did, O Jesus Christ.